Well, you may recall that last month, in November, we talked about a case that occurred, a very dramatic sighting that occurred over O'Hare Airport on Election Day, November 7th, at about 4:30 p.m. As a result of that program and another program I did, we got a second report from another witness, and that gentleman has consented to come on the program tonight, for which I am immensely grateful. This is the first time that any of the eyewitnesses to this event over O'Hare Airport in Chicago has, to the best of my knowledge, gone public and been willing to share his the details of his sighting from the cockpit of an airliner. With that, why don't we just go to him, let him tell his story. I don't know if he has a pseudonym that he would like to use, but we'll let him take the lead on that.
Very good. Welcome to the program, sir, and I echo Peter's gratitude. Thank you very much for sharing this information. Go right ahead, however you want to do it.
Okay, how are you guys doing tonight?
We're great. Doing well, thanks.
Pseudonym's not really necessary. Peter, you know my name. That's all that matters at this point.
Yeah.
it's like when my original filing on the report, you know, I stated what I do for a living. I move airplanes around the airport from one place to the other with about 85 other people at the airport from different airlines and ours also. And it was the 7th. It was, you know, like you said, around 4:30. We were sitting in the cockpit or on the flight deck of the airplane waiting to move from one location to the other. And there were some catcalls, as there are from time to time on the radio, but one of them came out very clearly about an object that was, you know, appeared to be floating above one of the terminals at O'Hare. As usual with the sense of humor that pilots had, there was, you know, a few remarks, and you could hear very clearly, no, it's right above Gate Charlie C-17, and I'm looking right at it. At that point, I was busy with the task at hand of having to move this aircraft with my partner. And at first, we're like, "Oh, this is going to be a good one. I wonder what we're going to see." As we were moving the airplane, though, we looked up and saw what, you know, was plain as day, although it was dusk. A gray, you know, circular object that was hovering over the terminal complex. You know, I'm guessing at least, you know, 700, 800 feet, definitely 700 feet above the ground. It was an overcast day, completely overcast, and the object was appeared to be trying to stay right at the base of the cloud cover. It was holding very steady. I didn't notice, and maybe this was the fact that we were under motion, and I had to pay attention to keeping the airplane on the taxiway. Any, you know, circular movements or what appeared, though, strange was the top of the craft was very clear outline of a dark gray material, and around the edges and the bottom of it was hazy, like you were looking through the heat reflections, like when you're driving down a road in the desert.
Interesting. Were there any lights at all on the craft?
Not that I noticed. I mean, you know, I've seen other things over the years, and, you know, I'm used to seeing lights on airplanes every night when I'm working. There was no noticeable lights, really, of any kind, either reflected or part of the object.
This haziness you mentioned, Peter and I, certainly Peter far more than I, get reports commonly which describe this, and it suggests some kind of visual reaction to the propulsion system involved that causes, some say, a plasma or whatever, but a distorted, maybe it's some moisture around it, who knows, but not unusual.
Yeah, that's what, you know, after we got to the, you know, it takes about, you know, O'Hare's a zoo, as most people realize, unfortunately, when you have to fly through there. It takes about 20 minutes, 25 minutes to move from one side of the airport to the other. So by the time we got to our hangar complex on the other side of the airport and looked back, unfortunately it was gone, but there was a hole in the overcast. I mean, it looked like someone had literally punched a hole right through the clouds.
Wow.
And I'm like, you know, this is incredible. And I'm like, are we seeing things? And, you know, unfortunately, my partner's not as forthcoming as I am. He's actually, as I was telling Peter, received a fair amount of ridicule. You know, I don't care what the people have to say about what, you know, I know what I saw,
sure.
And I know that a tremendous amount of people saw it that day. I would say that it lasted anywhere from, you know, I think almost 20 minutes, just judging from the time that the first radio call came out and then from the time that we parked our aircraft. Numerous pilots made comments about it. The ATC controllers, you know, in Chicago, they're phenomenal professionals at what they do, but they're also very abrupt when they talk to you. They made a few catcalls about, you know, oh, yeah, okay, follow the UFO and take the Alpha taxiway to your parking spot. And stuff.
Were they able to see it? Did any of them acknowledge the target was in their view?
I would want to say that the guy who was handling what is called inbound ground at that time, because they have an inbound and an outbound or clearance delivery. They have, you know, approach control. They have tower controllers and stuff like that for the different runways.
Right.
I would say the guy handling inbound ground, who we were talking to, had to have seen it.
Okay.
Just his silence.
All right, very good. Stand by, if you would, sir.
Sure.
We'll take a break and come right back. There you go, Peter. I mean, a clear object hovering right over the airport. And I think most of us could well surmise that anyone listening to the radio would look in that direction. And,
absolutely.
Acquire that object visually and perhaps those in the tower choose not to speak in affirmative terms about something like that, but it's right there. Okay, hang on. Back in just a couple minutes as Peter and I continue. Okay, right back with all of you good people, Peter Davenport and yours truly, and our special guest who moves aircraft on the ground at O'Hare. All right, go right ahead. Were my comments in line with your general intuitive analysis of the situation? I mean, there are a lot of pros there. As you say, phenomenal professionals, and there's an object up there, and maybe they just don't want to talk about it. But clearly it had to be visually observable.
Well, it was. Well, the guys in the tower, anybody that's an ATC controller is a different breed, and I don't mean that in any kind of negative way or derogatory way because of the responsibility that they have. But I also was telling Peter that I had explained to me by a very close friend of mine who's a captain with the company I work for, that they're encouraged to be quiet about reporting, and there's even, I believe, a part of an FAR, and I still have not been able to find it, so I do not know if that's 100% accurate, about making reports of, you know, any kind of nature. So I'm sure the guys in the tower are told that if they see something strange, just to keep doing their job and leave it at that.
Right. Unless something strange lands on one of the major approach runways, then you got a problem.
Yeah, when it lands and someone hops out and...
Yeah. Be funny to hear how they handled that, though. I'll bet they'd handle it with some dry decorum.
Yeah, they probably would. But it would, you know, I spent time up in the tower with those guys, and they're a good bunch of people. But,
yeah. I can't even imagine doing that kind of work, tell you the truth. It's it's amazing. All right, so the object, 700, 800 feet, just under the overcast.
Mm-hmm.
And when it left, it punched some kind of a hole right through the clouds as it took off, apparently straight up. What is your best projection on the diameter of the object?
Yeah, I've thought about this a lot. The distance initially from it when we first caught sight of it was at least, you know, from a 30-degree angle from the horizon up. And if you were to extend your arm out and hold a quarter in your hand, it was probably around that size. So I'm guessing as we drove next to the sea concourse and looked up at it, anywhere between you know, at least 20, definitely no larger than 40 feet in diameter. I would say probably closer to 30.
Closer to 30, you say?
Yeah, I would say between 20 and 30 would probably be a better estimate. Just, you know, from, well, if you were to hold your hand up and even use your fingertips to determine a size.
But still, that's a substantial piece of hardware up there.
Oh, yeah. You definitely, and not showing up on radar. I mean, the radar that they have, if you've noticed in any of the new modern airports, all the control towers have a rapidly rotating radar antenna on the top of their tower. That is not an air radar or for air traffic. That is a ground-based radar for being able to keep track of ground traffic and also, you know, runway traffic.
Oh, really?
Inclement weather.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a very powerful, I believe, Doppler-type radar. And, we thought it was, oh, this is for air traffic control, and it's not. It's for ground traffic. But on the west side of the airport, there is a radar dish that is used to keep track of incoming air traffic.
Right.
And they claim not to have seen it, that it was, some people said it was a reflection, other people, who knows, it was not. I mean, it was an object.
This is the human condition. We hear these kinds of things often. There'll be something up there. Some people just can't see it, won't see it, see something else.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of denial out there. And there are people who just shut up. So thanks to you, we have confirmation.
Yeah. That's an excellent report. For your information, by the way, and I don't want to use your name, but the ceiling on that day was 1,900 feet above ground level.
Okay.
So if you were looking at it at an angle of approximately 30 degrees above the horizontal plane,
uh-huh.
That means that you were within 3,800 feet of that object, and probably if it was below the 1,900-foot ceiling, that was the bottom of the overcast, it puts you commensurately closer to that object. So
yeah.
If it was as big as your thumbnail, that's about 6/10 of a degree, we can probably, from that information, figure out approximately how big it was, and your estimate is exactly correct. It conforms precisely to what another gentleman has already calculated for an estimated size, between 20 and 35 feet or so, I think it was. But I'm going on memory with that. So could you estimate how big the hole in the overcast was relative to how big the object itself was?
I would say that it would have to be very similar in size because, after we parked the aircraft and we looked back to where the object or where the craft, to me it's not an object, it was some kind of craft, was at, it looked like they literally, like you would take a cookie cutter and stamp it out of the dough.
Mm-hmm.
And that defined, and there's always wind in Chicago, but it stayed like that for a little while, and then just as it dissipated into the overcast, it was very, very close to the size of the craft.
Wow. Very good. Very good. All right, stand by if you would. We'll come back. Just a final comment or two from you if you think of anything else you want to leave us with, and our gratitude to you. And we shall continue in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away. Let me remind all of you to please stop by and visit us at rense.com. That's RENSE.com 24/7 for news from around the world that we think you ought to be aware of so you can make a better decision on whatever issue it is that you are struggling with. Be right back.